But it is also a really wonderful time because you do, are being afforded a little less activity in your surrounding other, whether it's your business, whether it's the stock market, whether it's the economy, right? The news cycle, everything softens during summer. And that is an opportunity that you can use to start thinking more proactively, thinking in terms of what can I be doing, not only for the next couple of weeks, or maybe the next couple of months, but what is the rest of this year going to look like?
Welcome back, John. Good to see you, man. Happy second half of the year to you. John, for new viewers or listeners, John Berger of Altus Wealth Solutions in San Luis Obispo, California. How was 4th of July? Happy belated 4th of July to you. How was your 4th?
Yeah. 4th was wonderful. Happy 4th of July. Happy middle of summer where I'm at, which is in Central California. Typically speaking, this is the time of year things really start heating up from a temperature standpoint. Here in San Luis Obispo County, we have the California Mid-State Fair, and fair time is almost always the time that folks start seeing triple digits. For whatever reasons, we're not seeing that right now, and I'm very thankful because I know there's a lot of really weird weather going on throughout the rest of the country, and for once, we're not dealing with severity where we are.
For once, it's not you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. I'm just coming off my first sunburn of the year. My 5-year old and I went to the pool last. Saturday, and he even told me, he's like, "Dad, don't you think we need sunscreen?" And I was like, "Nah, it's fine. We're only going to be here like an hour and a half. We won't stay here that long." And I was cooked. I mean, like for the next 2 days, I couldn't even turn. It was so uncomfortable. So next time I will listen to my 5-year-old for sure. So summer is typically it's a time that people are on vacations. It's a quieter time in the stock market, yeah. Usually. Obviously, if, you know, World War III starts tomorrow, then the market will come back from vacation and take action. But as long as no crazy events take place, usually the markets are characterized with lower trading volume and a little bit less activity, a little bit less volatility. And then from a business standpoint, it's pretty quiet, too. You're kind of stuck between the two tax deadlines right now. You're not, you know, you had the March 15th and April 15th deadlines in the first half. You got the back, if you extended, you've got September, October deadlines coming up. But in July, not a whole lot. Typically on the have to do right now list for most businesses. So it's a great time to kind of catch your breath a little bit and enjoy the downtime and be productive with the downtime to make sure that you can have a sound strategy going into the second half of the year.
Sounds good. That's a wrap. That's our conversation for today. Great.
That covers it.
Yep.
One of the fastest conversation I think we've had. No, you are correct. The temptation obviously is, and I was thinking as you were going through that little, dialogue, monologue of the, what the period is, it's like, great, let's go on vacation. Let's take a break, right? We have a chance. It's quiet. Let's go on vacation. And that's the temptation. A lot of people do that, right? The July, June, July, August, those are the times when, especially July, when folks take time off and go on a break and do vacation. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But it is also a really wonderful time because you are being afforded a little less activity in your surrounding other, whether it's your business, whether it's the stock market, whether it's the economy, right? The news cycle, everything softens during summer. And that is an opportunity that you can use to start, thinking more proactively, thinking in terms of, what can I be doing, not only for the next couple of weeks or maybe the next couple of months, but what is the rest of this year going to look like? When you start talking about the chronology, think about the year. It started in January, February. Maybe we had some great New Year's resolutions in January. We worked on those for 2 or 3 days anyway, maybe a couple of weeks. And certainly not longer than that. They seem to fade into the, and then it's like tax deadline season's already coming up, so we got to start working on that. So we're working on our tax, potentially getting our tax stuff together. Then, of course, we're going to miss the tax deadline, or we're going to need an extension. So all that push and shove, we get some stuff done, but we don't complete the project. And now we're past the tax deadline. That's April 15th, and now we're thinking it's the end, but we have other stuff, and now we've been putting off stuff for months. So it just seems like we're always behind the eight ball, maybe really never got the full year planning cycle taken care of. Certainly didn't do it before the year started, because that's the end of year, and that's usually a super busy period for all of us. So, you know, there's lots of reasons to kick that can down the road and really never actually approach the planning cycle. But here you are in summer, and you have at least been afforded a potential extra bandwidth to spend some time thinking about proactively. You don't have to devote all of it to that, but I strongly encourage folks to at least use some of that afforded extra bandwidth to think, well, what's the rest of this year going to look like? How can I team myself up to have a great, you know, fourth quarter? How can we prep ourselves for when things start getting busy in August, late August or September, or whenever back to school thing really hits and people start getting back into the fall rhythm? How can I team myself up so that that is more successful and I don't have to be worrying about certain things at that time when I'm probably too busy to be paying attention to that, so on and so forth. So I think it's a really good time to take that break, but not completely just check out.
Yeah, I mean, I just jotted down here as you were talking there, you know, sometimes rest is needed as a part of that strategy, right? I mean, when you're going on a road trip, if I'm going on a 12-hour drive, part of the strategy to help me get there and complete that drive is going to be taking a couple of well-calculated breaks along the way to make sure I've got enough gas to make it to the next checkpoint, right? So there very yeah. well may be, you know, some, you know, scenarios and situations where you do need to, you know, I don't ever criticize accountants for taking a vacation in May. You know what I mean? Like they probably very well have earned it and need it, and you're going to need to recharge. But at the same time, you're right. You know, we've talked on a few shows about the importance of planning while things are calm. You know, you don't want to be creating your plans in the middle of a tornado, right? That's a really bad time to come up with the strategy for, you know, what to happen if a tornado hits. But if you don't, honestly, as business owners, you don't get a whole lot of calm seasons throughout the year, right? So when you do have those opportunities to sit down and do some planning, it's good to take advantage of them. That doesn't mean you have to completely neglect, you know, recharging if that's needed. But, you know, but it is important to take advantage of them while you have. You know, we were talking before we started here. It's an interesting, really, like I'm in the middle. It's literally 2 o'clock my time on Wednesday. So I'm exactly in the middle of the longest break that I've gotten in a while, because my kids are all on vacation, and it's very quiet around here. I think I've got 5 or 6 straight nights that it's you know, just me hanging out, and I don't have a terribly busy, you know, standard work schedule right now. A lot of the advisors that I work with are also vacationing during the summer, so that, you know, it can calm down a little bit. But at the same time, I do have a backlog of work that I've needed to catch up on a little bit that's been kind of back burner. And I do see coming down the pipeline and, you know, August, September, things are going to be very busy. So I would like to be 100% free at that time to be able to take it all on. So I'm spending a lot of time planning and strategizing and catching up on some things that have been on my to-do list since, you know, last December. Let's go ahead and get those things checked off while we can. And then even, you know, catching up on things around the house, catching up on things, even some rest. I mean, that is a part of it. But it is good to, if you miss that opportunity, I mean, that's my motivation for this week, is because I'm sitting here looking at it. If I don't get this stuff done now, when's my next opportunity going to be? It very well maybe be next July. So you got to take advantage while you've got it.
Right. And part of that whole process is thinking about, well, if I don't do it now, when will I do it, or will I have time to do it, and what will the results be if I don't do whatever I have to do? Whole concept of lost opportunity cost is, if you're spending your time on one thing, that means you can't spend it on something else, and if you don't spend it on that something else, that's something that's going to come back to bite you sooner or later down the road. And just a lot of it is just really kind of being able to step back enough from stuff and understand, here's all the variables that I'm playing with, and which one is the one that's most important for me to be spending time with. And the other thing I'll echo sort of is it's all about balance. The person who works all the time and never takes a break and never does anything fun, that's not great. The person who person who never works and is constantly on break and never does, they may be very happy and healthy, but I don't know that you're really providing a whole lot of value because you're constantly on break. And ignoring any one aspect of your business, of your life, is just means that somewhere along the lines it's going to come back and become an issue that you're going to have to address later on. So it's better to kind of lay it all out, figure out, well, I want to make sure I take care of this. I want to make sure I take care of that. And these are the ones that are most important, and make sure I got the balance across the board so that I can actually spend some time on stuff. But I find that July is a really great time for settling back and recalculating and recalibrating, both recalculating and recalibrating what the systems are, what they need to do. Because in my world, August hits, and one part of the work that I do here at the university, it's just the wheels fall off the bus, and I'm just basically in total action mode. And then once that starts subsiding, the other parts of my life really start to pick up, and I know I'm going to be going, you know, tail end all the way to the end of the year.
Has July been, because I know there's a seasonality for, you know, and we talked to two business owners on the show a lot about seasonality in their businesses, but I can speak to mine and you can speak to yours as well. For me, interestingly, I've learned that, you know, the summer months are a pretty decent time for me in terms of adding new clients to do, you know, starting, you know, new engagements with clients and with firms, because it is a quiet time. I'm I'm the luxury they don't get to until they've got the time to get around to it. Right. I'm not someone that's, you know, I'm not compliance. I'm not the top of their priority list usually. So I found the summer to be a pretty good time for me. On the flip side of that, I'm going to go on vacation next year myself, March and April, because I might as well. Advisors don't pick up the phone anyway when I call. And even clients that are paying me don't pick up the phone when I call them, right? Or respond to emails. They're just so busy. So I guess I'm wondering for your business, do you tend to pick up more opportunities in the summertime while your clients do have some downtime, or do they tend to wait until things are crazy and that's when they call you? Are you the Ghostbuster of the on their list or in the Rolodex, or are you the person that they call when they've got some time to get around to you?
So, I think it's a mix, but I'll say this. The clients that I'm going to have the greatest effect with, the ones I'm going to create the greatest value for, are the ones who are contacting me now, because they have the bandwidth. We're not trying to do the Ghostbusting thing. We're not trying to you know, blow out the doors and take care of problems that are probably way bigger than all of us. They don't have to pay for quite so many of my hours, and I don't have to waste so many hours doing stuff that really, frankly, I should never have had to do. Those are triaging problems and trying to figure out, well, what's the best worst case scenario that we can get through this mess and at least get to some place in the future where we can actually start being more proactive. So while I do get calls in the thick of things from people who have messes, what I have learned over the years in doing that is those are the clients that often start with me and want me to do a whole bunch. And then they get to a quiet time where they get past the firestorm and they don't want to do the planning for the next year, and then they bail. And it's really not outrageously rewarding. Plus, you know, for me, the work of signing on client, basically I'm making an investment in that relationship as much as you are. My hours are never paid as well in the first 6 months. And it's nowhere near as rewarding for anybody. We're just basically, again, fixing problems, and it doesn't get them really to a place where they're going to have long-term sustainability, which has always been my objective with every business client, is how can we do this and keep your business or keep your personal finances long-term sustainable? What decisions can we make now that are going to have a positive effect, not only next week and next month, but are going to have a positive effect 10 years from now and 20 years from now? That's where our brain, that's where our focus is. And you can't do that in the middle of a firestorm. It just can't create that kind of environment.
Yeah, I've had the same experience with some of my services as well, where my work is very front loaded in the process. And then it's, you know, as we get more and more, I mean, this podcast is an example of it. I mean, the first show that we ever did, I had to come up with a name. I had to design that pretty little cloud that's behind me on my backdrop. I had to come up with the graphics and the cover art and the theme music and all these types of things. And I've had this happen so many times that, you know, you go through this process and you put in, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours, whatever, creating it and figuring out what the branding is going to be, what the theme is going to be. And then we do two episodes and they cancel. And I finally got to a point where I was like, I can't do that anymore, because it's just not, it's wasteful. It's wasting both of our times to spend that much time on something that's going to end up getting thrown away. So I finally just came up with an exorbitant enough sign-on fee that basically said, if you will do a 12-month engagement, then I'll waive the sign-up fee. And I, you know, to have it set up in a way that it would be, I don't think I've had anybody do it the opposite where they pay the sign-up fee, right? Because I only want at least a 12-month commitment. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. And I don't do that from a standpoint of greed. If you go that route, then you wasted your money just as much as I wasted my time. You know what I mean? It's not just from a selfish standpoint on my end. It's just I want it to be mutually beneficial both ways. And for that to work, it needs to be, you know, a longer term engagement each way. And that's typical. I mean, that's whether it's working specifically with business owners or working with any other client as a financial advisor. If somebody just comes to you and pays you, you know, a one-time fee to fix one problem that they have, they didn't get a whole lot of economy of scale for that or bang for that buck, right? It's really the long-term planning that you see the value.
Well, and you see this, let's just go even beyond our specific realms, which is in the realm of personal finance mostly, or business finance. It's, you know, look at health, look at all especially fitness programs, health programs, diet programs. You know, the vast majority of people, they do the exercise program for 2 or 3 weeks, their muscles are sore, they're tired, and they go back to their same old habits, which is probably not doing anything or doing certainly less than they should be doing this on in a very consistent basis. They're not going to get the results that they want. And you need that commitment, and you need to get past that. You need to change the habit that got you to where you are, that's requiring that you spend some time with, you know, with a coach or an advisor or whatever. And I just strongly encourage anybody, and it's not if you're going to work with me or work with Garrett, it's just, you know, think about this in your life and the number of times you've gone off and spent money or thought about spending money or time or even energy, even if it was offered for free, on programs or a program, and then you bail on it, right? That's just, it's wasting your time, it's wasting their time, and you're not getting any better results, and it gets a bad name for itself, the program gets a bad name. It's not ideal. So if you're going to do something, understand it's going to take time. It really is a commitment. I do the same thing, but I just say I want a commitment of a year, and I have allowed people to bail on that commitment after 2 or 3 months. I'm not going to make you continue to pay me for a year if it's not really working for you. I am better today at having people not bail on me than I was when I started that program, and I would still allow people to bail on me. You know, I say it's a 1 year commitment, and I always tell them upfront, it's like, you know, if it's really not working out, then let me know. But I'm much better at telling them. And right now I'm not sure that's going to work out for you. So I really want you to think long and hard before you make this commitment, because otherwise we're just wasting each other's time and your money. And I don't want to do that because I don't want to be known for that. I'm too old for that stuff now. I probably was fine when I was in my 40s, because I really kind of needed the money then, family, kids going to college and all this other stuff. But this stage of the game, I got 168 hours in the week. I want to make sure everyone is used to at the highest value possible, because I won't get them back.
Yeah. Well, and that's, we talk about the opportunity cost. I mean, there are situations that you've got to look at and say, okay, is this, when you get to a point in time where you've got more than 168 hours a week worth of work to do, you have to start going through the process of looking at, okay, which of these things are less, maybe they're all important, but we still have to evaluate which one is not as important as others, because at some point or another, something's got to go when you hit a certain limit, right? And I think it's, you know, you have to be, smart on both sides of that. You know, you try to plan as much as you can going into it. You know, one of the struggles that I had this year was that I address that a little bit differently than you do. They just go ahead and pay me up front for the entire year. So they can cancel if they want to. I don't care. They've already paid me. But the problem that I ran into that I didn't anticipate is that I did have several that paid me for 12 months and then disappeared. And I'm pounding on the door trying to get them to come in and do what we need to do. And they didn't show up until summer, which is why I all of a sudden just got bombarded with stuff to do all of a sudden. So that was a variable I hadn't planned for ahead of time. So, you know, you're not going to get it right. You can plan all you want to, but you're still going to miss some things. There's going to be some unforeseen circumstances that that are a little.
Boy, is that true?
Yeah. So that's why you need the Julys to regroup a little bit and say, okay, what are we going to do differently next year? It's just like a sports team. You know, sports teams have the off season to really dig deep into, you know, what went right, what went wrong, personnel changes, things like that, so that they can really strategize in some ways that they can't do when they've got another game in 2 days, right?
That's true.
Well, John, pleasure as always, my friend. Stay cool out there and enjoy the rest of your summer here. And we will talk very soon. For listeners and business owners out there, would love to speak with John. You can reach him at altuswealth.com, or feel free to reach out to me. I can make an introduction if you're interested in chatting with John. And I'm sure there are countless ways he can add some value and better guide your paths if you're interested in chatting with him.
Absolutely. Happy to help out any way I can.
Awesome, John. Well, I appreciate it. Good to see you, and we'll talk again soon.
All righty.